In Luke chapter number 18, we're going to read a parable beginning in verse number 9 down through verse number 14. Let's all stand, please, for the reading of God's word. Luke chapter 18, verses 9, and then down through verse 9, down through verse 14. And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week, I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes into heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other, for everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Heavenly Father, thank you for this scripture, and Lord, for the teachings of Jesus Christ while he was here on earth. Lord, some verbal teachings, some examples that'll help us to understand the importance of being thankful. Thank you for this blessed week, Lord. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. We covered just four things this morning, what Jesus taught us about thankfulness. We went to the feeding of the 5,000 and learned that we ought to pause and give thanks for our food. Say, preacher, this is basic. Boy, we need to get back to the basics, amen. Number two, then we went to the Lord's Supper that Jesus instituted and learned that we ought to pause and give thanks for Christ's suffering and his death on Calvary's cross. And then we went to John chapter 11 and stood outside of Lazarus' tomb and heard Jesus pray this. And when they took the stone away from the place where the dead was laid, Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. We ought to be thankful that God hears our prayers. And then we went and saw two lepers that were cleansed, and we learned that we ought to return and give thanks for every answered prayer. And so those were the four things that I thought were the most basic of the lessons. And so we presented them on a Sunday morning. And we're going to go a little deeper now tonight and look at three more things that we can learn from Jesus Christ in his teachings when it comes to this matter of thankfulness. Remember the challenge of this morning. And I may mention it again if I think of it at the end. If not, I want to mention it now. Well, let's spend this week asking the Lord to help us to think to be thankful. It may be something we've never been thankful before. Remember what I mentioned, the evangelist that I heard say, boy, if it was everything we've never thanked God for was taken from us, if everything we've never thanked God for was taken from us, well, I'll guarantee you then we'd be thankful for it. And so let's go through that exercise with the help of the Holy Spirit of God. I found out if I enlist his help in these type of mental and spiritual exercises, he's real good at bringing things to my mind and heart that gives me an opportunity to come to the Lord and say, Lord, you know what? Here it is, 55 years, and I've never said thank you for this, and I want to say it for the first time. Thank you so much. And so let's join together on doing that throughout the week. What did Jesus teach us about thankfulness? Well, some of the things are positive. Most of them are positive. There's one thing that he taught us here in this story here, and that's this. Number five, we ought to never use pretended thankfulness to exalt ourselves above others. Now think about that. You know, here's a situation where a man came and he stood to pray, and here he is in the synagogue, in the church, and he stands to pray, and he uses his prayer opportunity to supposedly thank the Lord for something. Only notice what he did. Verse 11, the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. And I always like to stop there and say he sure was by himself because God didn't have anything to do with this prayer. And this is what he prayed. God, so we know he's talking to the Lord, I thank thee. Well, it sounds good so far. He's thanking the Lord. What's he going to thank the Lord for? That I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. Oh, my goodness sakes. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? Well, let me just stop and say this. We ought to be really, really careful of any opportunity that we have when it comes to publicly either praying or giving testimony in the church service concerning how we use that opportunity. Listen very carefully what I'm going to say, folks. By the way, good night. I grew up in this thing, okay? I lived in a preacher's home. I grew up, I was a bratty little kid around here, and then even more bratty teenager, and I've gone up through the whole thing and been on both sides of it, spent plenty of time in the pew and plenty of time now in the pulpit. And let me just say this. I would say 98, maybe 99% of all of my memories of men either testifying or praying has been positive and blessed and sweet and godly and biblical and right on. But I guess you never forget that 1% or 2%. And you have to be very careful that if God allows you to have a moment to either pray publicly or testify publicly, that you don't misuse that opportunity. This man misused his opportunity to publicly pray. He took something very sacred called prayer, and he basically made it an abomination. It was a stench in the nostrils of God, and it discouraged the church. And so what was the problem here? Well, he used this prayer time as an opportunity to not only exalt himself and brag on himself, but also to try to use that to put down somebody else. And like I said, there's two situations that I've watched, and every once in a while, like I said, thank goodness in a good Bible preaching church, it don't happen a lot. But there's two situations that can be misused in a church. One of them is prayer requests. All right, there's been, and probably two in the 12 years, maybe three in 12 years, somebody sent a prayer request to the pulpit. There's one of the reasons I want you to write them down. Well, preacher, I forgot to write them down. I'm going to raise my hand. Well, then I'm going to ignore you. Do what you're told. Your preacher does things for a reason, okay? There was a lot more nonsense back in the days when I used to have this, okay? There's been about two or three prayer requests that have come to the pulpit that, you know what I did? I folded them up, stuck in my pocket, didn't say a word about it. You know why? Because the prayer request was inappropriate. It was self-serving. It was a chance to try to take a slap at somebody. You say, mean in this church, who was it from? I'm not going to tell you unless you give me $1,000. But don't take it out of your tithe, all right? Do not take that $1,000 out of your tithe, please, all right? But you know what? Most of the time, honestly, if you put a gun in my head and said, who did this, I wouldn't be able to tell you. Listen, I'm thankful for a memory, but I'm also thankful for God giving me the ability to remember the things I need to remember and not remembering a lot of things I need to forget. It's a good idea to just learn to forget some things, okay? And so I couldn't tell. I mean it. If you offered me $1 billion, I couldn't tell you. I just know two or three times I remember reading something, usually sent in by, honestly, somebody that's more peripheral, not core members. Probably somebody didn't have an understanding of what this was about, but I'm not going to misuse prayer request time for somebody that's got a personal agenda or silliness or foolishness or just wants to try to use that as to put somebody in their mind in their place. And so be very careful. Hey, look right up here and tell me this isn't true. I mean, good Christians, if you're not careful, you're using prayer requests more as an opportunity to gossip than you are to really pray. Okay? Now, I don't think, again, that's true of the majority of the people, but you got to be careful you don't leak over into that, okay? Here's a little phrase you need to learn, and it'll help you. This is what I say a lot. I know enough to pray. I know enough to pray. Preacher, you know what's going on in this? Do you know enough to pray? Yep, then you know enough. How about right there? Yeah, but I'm just going to keep digging, and I'm going to keep picking at this. I'm going to stop this person before you and that person before you. I'm going to see if I can question. Man alive, there ought to be. I'm telling you. I shouldn't say this out loud. I did it once, and I got in trouble here. I'm going to go. But I'm not sure that in the Constitution of the United States, every preacher should at least have the opportunity to do one public execution a year. I just think it would keep things settled down. I really do, you know. If a family's going through something, are you going to stop one of the children, little Miss Nosy, and grill one of the children? Do you have any brain cells that are now active? And the honest truth is, you're not interested in praying. You're interested in how much information you can get so you can go gossip. Now, let's use some good sense. This church is our family. You mistreat one of my family members, you're going to get balled out. Some of you are getting balled out right now. Okay?
Listen, you know enough to pray. Then you know enough. Then you know plenty. You don't need to know anymore. You think God knows it all? Okay. You think so you getting more information so you can tell God? You can try to spiritualize this anything you want to. Well, I just think that we can pray a little more specifically, like God needs the specifics. It's amazing how we try to spiritualize. You know what it is? Come on. You're just interested in how many people you can text about it, share this prayer request. Now, don't misuse sacred things. This man used a sacred thing. And we talked this morning about being thankful that God hears our prayers, that we're invited to go into the throne of grace, and that we do so only by going through the blood of Jesus Christ. All of those thoughts ought to purify what we're walking into the throne room putting before the King of Kings. This isn't playtime, all right? And not only that, I've watched and heard people misuse testimony time, okay? If you are called upon to give a testimony, you know what? That testimony ought to be focused 100% on bringing glory and honor to the Lord. If you're using it as an opportunity to try to take a swat at somebody else in the church, by the way, that's wrong. That's wrong. And if you do it and I hear it, I probably won't ask you to give a testimony again for a long time, because that's not what it's for. All right? And so what I'm saying is let's just be careful. Jesus is teaching us something here. And we can take something like prayer and thankfulness and turn that thing into something corrupt. And like I said, I don't leave here and say, well, everybody at Blessed Hope. No, I said 98% of all of my experiences in any independent fundamental Baptist church has been blessed and sweet and holy and appropriate. But there are times where people have misused prayer request or testimony, and this is what this man did. And by the way, he didn't go to his house, according to the Lord Jesus, justified. Okay? I was talking to a preacher, and he said something so funny this week. He was talking to me about a situation at church. I can't tell you, of course, what it was. And he was asking me for some counsel. And so he lays the situation out, and he said, preacher, I've got two extreme reactions going on in my church. He said, I've got some of them clear over here, and I've got some of them clear over here. And this is what he said. He says, I think I pastor either reprobates or Pharisees. Then he says, where are the normal people that are in the middle? Hey, let's be the normal people in the middle. Are you listening to me? No, listen, I don't want you to be a reprobate, but I don't want you to be a Pharisee either. Okay, and when we talk about being a Pharisee, we got a good example of it right here. Here he's using an opportunity to give a prayer, a public prayer, and he uses it couched in thankfulness to misappropriate and misuse that opportunity. So number one, this is what Jesus taught us. We ought to never use pretended thankfulness to exalt ourselves above others or to put somebody down. Never use a testimony or a prayer opportunity to exalt yourself. Never use a testimony or prayer opportunity to put someone else down. Always use a testimony or prayer opportunity to exalt Jesus Christ and give glory to God, and that'll keep you in a safe place. All right, good. Let's go to Luke chapter number 10. Luke chapter number 10. So number five, we ought to never use pretended thankfulness to exalt ourselves above others. Number six, Luke chapter number 10, just a few pages back, and verse number 21. What's the Lord going to teach us next about thankfulness? Luke 10 and verse number 21. This is a fascinating verse. I found a sister verse in Matthew chapter 11. I'll read to you. But in Luke chapter 10, and verse number 21, we read this. In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father. Now, we're going to learn something. If Jesus stops and thanks the Father for something, and he does it vocally, then he's doing it out loud to teach us something. All right, so this is what he says. I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes, even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. Now, let me tell you what's good in the Father's sight. What's good in the Father's sight is to take truth, real Bible truth, and hide it from people who think that they are wise and prudent. In other words, somebody that already knows everything. Instead, he will take that truth and he'll reveal it. He hides it from the person that already thinks they know everything and reveals it to the person who has a babe mentality or a new convert mentality when it comes to being teachable. Now watch this. Number six, we ought to pause and give thanks for what God has revealed to us. What he's revealed to us. There's a great lesson to be learned here. In Matthew chapter 11, verse 25, at that time Jesus answered, said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. Now, there's a great lesson. Let's look at the lesson first. You know what? If you want to consistently have the Lord reveal to you the secret things of God, the deep things of God, then you know what? Don't declare yourself wise and don't declare yourself prudent. Because the minute that you think you've arrived, you become unteachable. All right? The minute you think you've arrived, you've become unteachable. I wrote this down. Here he is. Here's a good goal for us. If you can become a mature Christian while maintaining the humility and teachability of a new convert, then you've accomplished something. Did you get that? I'm not talking about staying a baby in Christ. I'm talking about in this area of teachability. God says, I'll reveal things to the curious. I'll reveal something to the hungry. I'll reveal something that comes with things to somebody that comes to the scriptures with a humble spirit about them. Okay, throw away your pedigree. I don't care what your last name is, what church you were raised in. You know what? All of us need to have a teachable spirit. Okay? And so we ought to pause and give thanks for what God has revealed to us. Folks, listen to me. Let's stop and just say thank you to the Lord over some things. We were born in America. You realize just that allows you to have access to some of the truths of God's word that people that are born in other countries will never have an opportunity to have access to? I mean, we get to carry a Bible. It's legal. Well, of course it is. That's not the way it is everywhere. Okay, we get to have church open, not secret, not like in China. You see that story where they're cracking down on these underground churches meeting in homes. The government's taking bulldozers and they find out you've got a church meeting in your house. They're showing up with a bulldozer and bulldozing your house. And the story about a Christian Chinese man and his wife that stood in the doorway while they bulldozed their house over. Think about that, and yet we show up here. Folks, listen to me. Young people, I want to get to you in a second, but boy, you're blessed. You're blessed. God has revealed some things to us that a lot of places, they don't have the opportunity. You were allowed to be born in America. You were allowed to be exposed to the gospel. I mean, there's entire villages and cities in other countries that have never had a gospel witness, never had a gospel preaching church. He's allowed many of you to be born into Christian homes. Are you hearing me? I was talking to a brother that I learned a little bit about, got to fellowship with up in Canada, and he pastors another sister church, not the church I was at, but the Canadian church, and we were talking after the service, and he was talking about the young people, and he said, I preached the message on gathered fragments make full baskets, and he came to me afterwards. He said, brother, I appreciate that message, because he said, I was a fragment. He said, I wasn't raised in a Christian home. He said, I didn't get saved till I was in my early 20s. And he said, I mean, from the time 14, 15 years old, he said, I was out doing crazy stuff and foolish stuff and ruining my life and got into drugs and got into booze and all kinds of stuff. And he said, probably the biggest obstacle I have as a preacher, he said, is not dealing with the kids that are the fragments, because I understand them. He said, pray for me. The hardest thing I have is to look at kids that were raised with all of the blessings and all the protections and all the advantages that are just want to turn around and spit on it and take it for granted and complain about it. And he said, you know what? I understand that there's a patience I need to learn and there's some things I need to understand. And I said, well, I guess there is a little bit, but I don't want you to move too far from where you're at. Because you know what, folks? We've been blessed. Okay, my mom and dad, what if they didn't get saved when they were 26 years of age? What if dad would have held out that last night of revival meeting
got out the back door and said, wow, that was just too much. I'm not going back into that. Where would I be? Okay, do you understand that we've been given opportunities here? God allowed you to be born in America. We've been exposed to the gospel. Many of us were raised in Christian families. Some of you weren't. Some of you weren't. And by the way, you probably feel the frustration that this preacher feels sometimes. You want to walk over to some of these kids over in the corner whining and griping about the rules or whining and griping about all the things they're missing. You want to slap them silly. Come on, what are we doing here? God allowed you to attend a Bible preaching church. You know, a lot of people are going to churches where they never hear the gospel. And you're in a Bible preaching church. Now, here's the question. Are you thankful enough and humble enough to capitalize on what God has revealed to you? Or are you going to waste God's grace? Because if you get this, I'm prudent, I'm wise, I know more than the preacher, I know more than my parents, I know more than, I mean, good night, I've got access to the internet. The source of all truth. Yeah, I hear this nonsense. Oh, you know what? You're afraid of our generation because you know what? We've got access to information you never had access to. No, I've had access to all the information I've ever needed. Thank you very much. And if you're accessing information that's telling you something opposite of this, that's not information. That's lies. You know what? You're feeding on the garbage pile of this world, and it's affecting you. So why don't you turn that thing off and get right into this book right here? And you know what? Thank you very much. We've always been the information generation. All of us that have a King James Holy Bible have always been a part of the information generation. This is the source of knowledge. This is the sourcing of all understanding and wisdom. Amen. You know what? Just because you can plug into the internet and talk to Google and it'll talk back to you and answer all of your questions, man alive, there's somebody else you could talk to. Is it Sirius? Sirius? Who's the one that you ask the questions to? Siri? Is it Siri? All right. Your son. I hear, buddy. You can check on what your wife's doing at home, brother. But you know what? It's amazing to me. We'll ask Siri 20 questions a day and never ask God one. I mean, we'll go on the internet and browse and read all kinds of nonsense. We won't spend 5 minutes in this book. This is good. I'll just stay right here a minute. See, we're becoming prudent, wise know-it-alls. And because of that, God says, I hide truth from you. I mean, you know everything, so go on. Go do it. See how it works out. Now, what I'm saying is this. Boy, I'm talking, this is good for the pulpit and the pew. You know, education's a wonderful thing as long as it doesn't give you a know-it-all attitude. Because the most educated person in here, trust me, we all still have a lot to learn. You spend an entire lifetime reading the Bible, studying the Bible, and I mean, I give my life to it, and I just feel like, you know what? When I get to heaven, I'm going to find out I barely scraped the surface of it. And God's got so much. I'll spend sometimes an entire day just studying the Bible, and it's one of the most, I think I've shared this with you before, but this is how I want to walk through every door, and I want to study everything to the end. And I've tried to do it my whole life. And so I'll say, I want to study this today. I want to see what's behind that door. And then I study everything the Bible has to say about it so that God allows me to open that door and I walk into a room where there's 10 more doors. And I want to know what's behind every one of them. Well, I'll just take them one at a time. So I go over to the first one and I study and chase that thing to the end and God opens that door, only I walk into a room where there's 10 more doors. Sometimes 20. Now I got to make a decision. Do I go back and do these other nine? And that's honestly, folks, that is a wonderful explanation about the depths that's in this book. And you've got more than enough to occupy your time. And all the wisdom you need to pull off, everything in life you need to pull off, is in this book. And we can't get up and read a chapter a day. You know, I mean, good night. What are we doing? And so, you know what God does? He says this, I'm looking for that person that's hungry. I'm looking for that person that's thirsty. I'm looking for that person that stays curious. I'm looking for that person that doesn't have a know-it-all attitude, that's got a humility about them and a teachability about them. And you know what? I want them to be a mature Christian while maintaining the humility and teachability of a new convert. We ought to pause and give thanks for what God has revealed to us. And you young people, let me tell you something. You're blessed in a way that you... I hope you know it.
I hope you get it. I hope you understand it. I mean, don't take all you've been given and throw it over in a garbage pile somewhere and walk away from it and mess your life. Don't do that. Please don't do that. You pray for our young people, amen. We ought to pause and give thanks to what God has revealed to us. All right, let's go to Luke chapter number 17. And we'll cover the last one here, and then we'll head to the house. Luke chapter 17. So we ought to never use pretended thankfulness to exalt ourselves above others. We ought to pause and give thanks for what God has revealed to us, and also thankful to the way God does it. You know what he does it? If you stay hungry, if you stay humble, he'll reveal things to you. If you get a know-it-all attitude, you know what? He'll just let you go ahead with your know-it-all attitude and make a lot of mistakes. I want to keep going on that. I need to stop. Please listen to me, young people. If your preacher's giving you advice and your parents giving you the same advice and you're not following your preacher and your pastor's advice, I don't know how else to say it, but you're a fool. Excuse me, you don't know more about you than I do. And by the way, God put me, read the Bible. You know what my job is? To watch for your soul. If I could rewind the last 5 years of graduates of our school who sat in my office and I looked them in the eye and gave them plain, clear, good, biblical advice as far as what the next step in life is. Every single one of them that didn't listen to it are a mess. And you're waiting for your turn. You can't wait. You're watching the clock because you're going to do the same thing. Can't you learn? Can't you learn? Are you really that blind? You know why you can't see it? It's because God's hiding it from you. Because you're a know-it-all. But show me that young person that comes with a humble heart. That, you know what, is looking at the next phase of life as they should with a fear and an understanding that, yes, great things are ahead, but you know what, there's a devil out there waiting. Okay? I want you to ask yourself this. What piece of advice has your preacher specifically given to you that you're still not following? That you keep rationalizing that you're right about it, I don't get it, you're right about it. You're not. And that's why so many other things are being hid from you. Okay, who do you think you are? I think I'm your pastor. At least I'm trying to be. I think I know you more than you might know yourself. I think I'm a lot of times trying to stand before you in really bad decisions. Okay? And you know, hey, I'll do whatever. I understand at the end of the day, you've got to make choices for your life. But stay teachable. Stay teachable. I just think of where, Brother Jack, some of our young people should be right now that's graduated in the last 5, where they should be and where they are. And they walked out of that office and they said, well, I know what the preacher said, but I'm gonna, okay? I'm not giving you wisdom based on Jerry Ross. I'm giving you wisdom and based on a lifetime of experience and a lifetime of studying this book. Amen. Young people, listen to me. You know how dangerous 18, 19, 20, and 21 is? You have no idea. You're walking into a landmine. You know, and the world makes it sound so easy, and I know, good night, you finally got a cell phone. And now you can access all the wisdom of the ages, especially from those that have gone out and messed their life up. Up to you. Up to you. Boy, I'm a little tired of having my heart broke. All right, let's go on. Luke chapter 17. Is that where I told you? Verse number 7. Here we go. Which of you having a servant plowing? Boy, this is a good lesson. Take this home with you. Which of you having a servant plowing or feeding cattle? Which saying to him by and by when he has come from the field, go and sit down to meal. All right, let's stop. Do we understand that? So which of you having a servant. So here's the master and he's got a servant. What do you mean a servant? I mean an employee
or an indentured servant, as was very common in these days. And so who's the master? Who's the servant? The servant is out plowing or feeding cattle, and he gets done. And when he comes in from the field, does the master then look at him and say, go and sit down to meat? And will not rather say unto him, make ready wherewith I may sup, and gird thyself and serve me till I have eaten and drunken, and afterwards thou shalt eat and drink. Did we understand that? You watching it? Here's a master. He's got a servant. He sends him out the field. You know why? Because he's the servant. Hey, by the way, get to like that phrase. Those of you who are bristling right now a little bit. Well, I'm never going to be anybody's servant. Well, then you ain't going to be much use to God. I'm talking about getting a servant's mentality here. All right, are you thinking about this? So here's the master, and he says to the servant, here's your to-do list today. I want you to go out, and I want you to plow this field, and I want you to feed these cattle, and I got this needs done, and that gets done. So he goes out, and he works a long day, and he comes in, and he's hungry. And he says, which of the masters then, when he comes in out of the field, says, hey, you sit down there and I'll make you a meal and feed you. You know what he says to him? He says, when he comes in from working hard all day, hey, go over and make me something to eat, get me something to drink, because you're the servant. Isn't this good? I love teaching this to Americans. We need this. I mean, some of you, the happiest moment of your life is going to a restaurant because you finally have somebody that's going to serve you. And you can't wait to hold that waitress in judgment. Because if you don't have your drink and everything's not perfect, well, I'm not leaving a tip. You got that mentality because you've never been a waitress. All right. I mean, we're all about wanting people to serve us. This kind of rubs us raw a little bit. Stay with me. So Jesus, is this Jesus speaking? I just want to double check. Everybody know? Anybody know that for sure? So I'm good on that? This is Jesus. Okay, so maybe we ought to listen, okay, to what he's going to teach us. Which of you having a servant plowing or feeding cattle? I'm going to start over. Will say unto him by and by, when he has come from the field, go and sit down to meat. But will not rather say unto him, make ready wherewith I may sup, and gird thyself and serve me, till I have eaten and drunken, and afterwards thou shalt eat and drink. So, when the servant works all day, he comes in, the master says, okay, good. You get all that done? Yes, good. Go in there in the kitchen, make me something to eat and drink. When you get done feeding me and cleaning up, then you can get something for yourself to eat and drink. Okay? Doth he, here's the word, thank. Verse 9, does he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I throw not. Okay, so not only is he not going to wait on him after he's worked all day, but he's going to make him continue to serve him because he's the servant. But you know what? He doesn't even owe him a... Get that one. There's an application here, verse 10. So likewise ye... When ye shall have done all those things which are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. Jesus is going to teach us something about thankfulness here. This is good. I told you we were going to get to some advanced learning here. We ought to serve the Lord. Get this, folks. We ought to serve the Lord with no expectation of thanks. No expectation of thanks. You don't mean, yeah, I mean no expectation of thanks, because he's the master and we're the servant. Boy, us haughty Americans. I mean, my goodness sakes, every little thing we do for the Lord, if somebody doesn't pat us on the back or if the preacher don't mention it from the pulpit, well, I used to serve, but it just like I was not appreciated. Have you ever been introduced to this word? Here it is. D-U-T-Y. Duty. Duty. When Jesus saved me, he bought me.
He gives me a father-son relationship, but folks, that does not erase the servant-master relationship. One of these days I ought to teach, I did this years ago, on all of the different relationships that we have through salvation with God. And by the way, they all coexist. One doesn't erase the other. Okay? So God has every right to command me to do things, and you know what? When I do all of them, and I do them well, and I do them right, and I get done, if he thinks of something else, he can throw that on top, and you know what? At the end of the day, he doesn't owe me a thanks. You know why? Because he's the master, and I'm the... Now listen, folks, watch this. If you don't get to the point where you can serve the Lord with no expectation of appreciation, then you're probably not going to stay serving the Lord very long. You know why? A couple reasons. Because you serve the Lord mainly through serving other people. And can I say this? Most people are ungrateful. I'm just telling you, most people are ungrateful. I mean, Brother Roger, you're going to get done sometimes with an entire year where you went above and beyond and helped this student, and they were so far behind, and you put extra hours in, and you stole time from your wife and your child, and you went the extra mile. And at the end of the year, all the parents are going to want to do is bawl you out that they're not caught up more than they are. Welcome to the ministry. I don't do it for a thank you. I do it for the Lord. I do it because it's my duty. You know how many times I've rescued a kid and given the credit to a parent and never even got a thank you? So what? I didn't do it for a thank you. I did it to help that kid. And you know what? The Lord knows who does what. And I do think that there's going to be a reward day, okay? But when we have our reward day, it's going to be so obvious at that moment that we really do not deserve the reward. That whatever crown he hands us, we're going to take it off and throw it at his feet and say, thou art worthy. You see, folks, even when we get to heaven, we're going to find out that so many things that we thought we did, he did. And it was an honor to be used. Now, I'm going to tell you, I'm teaching you some advanced level stuff, but this is the difference between somebody that stays in the ministry 30, 40, 50 years and somebody, you know, does it for about 5, 10 years, keeps getting their feelings hurt, and then checks out and just, you know what, you just don't understand. I've been through so many bad experiences. All right. I appreciate every time somebody in our church, by the way, good night, the notes that y'all gave us, that meant a lot. But can I say this? If I never got another one, I'm still going to work. I'm not saying it's wrong to say thank you. I'm just saying if you've got to have it in order to keep doing what you're doing, then you're running on the wrong fuel. Folks, look, you got to look at thankfulness like this. Anybody that expresses thankfulness and gratitude, folks, that is icing on the cake. Okay, and icing's good. Okay. But the honest truth is, this is the ministry. By the way, we have a lot of good people here. And there is a lot of reward as far as watching people stay with it and go forward. But I'm going to tell you, there's also a lot of folks, and this is what Dad used to say, and he's 100% right. A lot of times, the people that you invest the most in will be the one of these days that breaks your heart or turns around and stabs you in the back. And you know what? At that point in time, you need to understand something. If that's going to make you quit, you were in it for the wrong reason in the first place. Preacher, why do you do what you do? Because it's my duty. It's my duty. Okay, Sunday school teachers, why are you doing what you're doing? It should be because it's your duty. It's your duty. And so Jesus said, I want to teach you something about thankfulness. This is kind of a tough lesson. I mean, man, he doesn't hold anything back in this, does he? He kind of strips us down bare in this. And he says this, you're the servant. He's the master. You do what's commanded you. And if more commands are added at the end of an exhausting day, you know what? Chad every once in a while comes to me and, man alive, we'll go through a busy time and we've got all these things to get done. And I'll look at him and he'll look at me and he'll say, preacher, what do we do? And I say, we do what we always do. We get it done. That's what we do. You know why? It's our duty. Well, do you think anybody notices? I don't think that way. Excuse me, but I don't care. I don't need that fuel for my tank. I mean, preachers, anybody ever stop and say thank you? Well, if they do, I appreciate it. But you know what? It's just like stealing a little bit of icing off a cake. I mean, you can't live on it. Okay, you're living on icing? That's not good. That's a treat. If it happens, man, praise the Lord. God bless them. I'm sure God will bless them. Because everybody likes to be appreciated. But the honest truth is that that's why you're doing it. Then you need to be introduced to a new way of thinking. Has this been good for us tonight? So here we have this wonderful ability to be thankful. And God says, don't you misuse that. Don't you misuse prayer. Don't you misuse a testimony time. If you're going to be thankful, you be thankful with a humble heart. And then he goes and schools us a little bit on and reminds us how blessed we are here in the United States of America to have so much revealed to us. I mean, the young people that graduate from Blessed Hope Baptist Church and school, if you've been paying attention, you know what the Bible colleges are telling me? Your kids know more coming into Bible college than a lot of these students know going out of Bible college. You have been given an unbelievable opportunity here. Okay? It's being revealed to you. Do you have a teachable spirit? Are you latching on to it? Are you getting it? Okay? Or have you declared yourself prudent and wise? And then this last little warning here that we ought to be careful. We need to be very careful because if we get to the point where, yeah, thank yous are nice, but if I don't get them, I'm quitting, you might as well quit tonight. Because there's more that you'll do for the Lord that goes unnoticed here on earth than it'll ever get noticed. So learn to do it because it is your duty. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this teaching tonight. Some good stuff for us. I pray, Lord, that you'll help us to lay aside a lot of what the world teaches us, which is sometimes, many times, most of the time, anti-Bible teaching, and help us to study the Scriptures, and especially the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord Jesus, thank you for what you allowed us to listen into these sometimes very personal and private conversations between you and the Father so that we could learn that if you stopped and thanked the Father for this, boy, we ought to stop and do the same. And Lord, so as we go into this week, we ask again, God, please just help us to take what we've learned today and go into a fresh new week and say, Lord, I want to be thankful. I want to be thankful maybe in a way I've never been thankful before. And for some things that I've never thanked you, and Lord, reveal them to me. And I pray, Lord, that you'll help us, Lord, to offer the sacrifice of thanksgiving.